Okay, so we're here for the Adelaide Plains Chapman Verse podcast. I'm here, Carolyn, present, and we have to my left, I have...
Michelle.
Marie.
And Jeanette.
So, let's go. News. By writing news, well, I was talking earlier with people about the anthology that I've been putting together as editor, and it's going well, looks good. And if it's published, as it will be, one way or another, it'll be an excellent little book. Thank you. Poetry competition...
We had that.
Yeah, of course we did. That. Yeah, we've had
that. Like 100 years ago.
It does.
But we had that, and that was really
and
fabulous and wonderful.
And prizes to the winners.
Yeah. It was a good day.
We're very good the way we give prizes to winners of things.
And feedback to others.
It was a good day. It went really well. It was a truncated festival.
So you go from 4 days
COVID
to
festival.
Half a day, and it still worked well.
It did.
Given the COVID crisis, we did good.
I think we did well.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
And next year, hopefully, fingers crossed, bigger and better for our recovery festival.
Recovery.
Yes.
That's a fine thing to write about, recovery.
Fingers crossed.
It can be anything. Gardens, housing, relationships,
all
governments.
All sorts of recoveries.
Everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Very quiet month for news, August. Actually, I had to throw in that apparently on the 31st of July, Harry Potter turned 40.
We missed Harry Potter's 40th.
So I had to throw that in. Excellent piece of news today. Michael Rosen, who spent 47 days in ICU with COVID, has finished a children's book.
Yeah,
and sent it off to the publishers. And the publishers are amazed. They didn't think he'd get it done.
Well,
it's called
Rigatoni
the Pastor Cat. So it's great that he's well enough to get back into writing. So
hopefully
he'll really, really
keep going
pleased.
Being well enough.
Mm. So on August the 3rd, it was 100 years since the birth of P.D. James.
Ooh.
On August the 6th.
Oh, really?
In 1996, Game of Thrones was published. I didn't realise it was that recent, actually.
1996?
Yeah. On the 13th of August 1946, H.G. Wells died. On the 17th of August, it's the 75th anniversary of Animal Farm's publication.
Oh, wow.
And on the 22nd, it's 100th anniversary of Ray Bradbury's birth.
Oh.
And that was pretty much it for the news for this month. So.
Ray Bradbury, that's Fahrenheit
451.
The book is much better than the movie.
Often the case.
Mm.
I've got
so.
To read it for book club. It's not normally my thing, but it looks quite good, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I like Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on. So, poet and writer discussion. So, the theme for this month is class and society. First one is A House for Mr. Biswas by V.S. Naipaul.
One of those writers that I know I should have read more of but I haven't. John Steinbeck.
John Steinbeck,
Cannery Row.
Disgrace, J.M.
Coetzee. Yeah, Coetzee. He's a good writer.
Yeah?
Right. Our mutual friend, Charles Dickens.
Yes.
Yes.
A woman. Oh,
there's only two women on there.
Three.
Yeah, three.
The bottom one, the last one.
Yeah,
why is he going to see this? Poor cow, I don't know that at all.
No, I don't either.
No,
it's about each
few poor cows.
The shell cows. He read the book, but I actually...
I'm sorry, Jeanette.
Oh, that poor cow.
Oh, but it's a really old-fashioned...
Isn't it?
...term,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Oh, the old poor cow.
I know.
I drive past the cows in the paddock. I think, oh, you poor cows.
Mm.
Yeah. Poor little baby cows. Cry, but I eat meat, so...
Yeah, I reckon.
My fault. Saturday night and Sunday morning, no idea. Alan Sillitoe, don't know him at all.
No.
I've got a little few words about each book so I can describe them. So we'll go through first.
Oh, that'll be really good. Okay,
yeah.
The Lonely Passion of Judith Hearn, Brian Moore. Was that like a pre...
I've
Tinder.
Heard of it, but I don't know. It doesn't.
The Lonely Passion of Judith Herbert.
Sounds crazy.
Of course a bloke wrote that.
Yeah,
she's probably
happily
single. It's some bloke
he wasn't, apparently. I just read
a book about a woman who was happily single.
No, I don't think she is either.
Jean Brodie by Muriel Spark. I've certainly heard of the book, but I haven't read it.
I've seen it. Yeah. That was...
And Maggie Smith, when she was younger, played the role in a film or...
Now I want to see it because I think Maggie Smith is brilliant.
She was a school teacher and she was...
Yes, she's a
And she was just a wonderful, marvellous person.
Yes, inspiring school teacher.
So it's a book about
her.
It's
a bit like you, Michelle.
I read it at uni, which was 100,000 years ago, so I don't remember.
The Remains of the Day by...
Somebody.
Ishiguro. I love his writing, but I can't pronounce his name. So.
And the Whites of Gus O'Shea. Well, that gets mentioned in
Jim
the book.
I thought, I used to think that was always called the Wild Cigar So See.
Oh, right.
To the wide.
Mm.
So I'll just read the descriptions of those books. Okay, going back up to Poor Cow was the first one, I think, that we weren't familiar with. So Poor Cow, hailed as a tour de force by Margaret Drabble, this is a tale of youth, motherhood and freedom in 60s London, made into an acclaimed film by Ken Loach. And Nell Dunn, I like the narrative quality the working class have of talking about their lives, the storytelling and their humour. I'm tremendously influenced by Carry On films, which I find terribly, terribly funny. So,
okay.
And that's Nell Dunn, 2003. Saturday Night and Sunday Morning by Ellen Sillitoe. Working all day at a lathe leaves Arthur Seaton with energy to spare in the evenings. A hard-drinking, hard-fighting hooligan, he knows what he wants and is sharp enough to get it.
Sounds dreary.
Does sound very dreary to me, too.
That's where that...
Did you just see my face?
Cold Chisel song came from, you know, Saturday night.
Saturday. No, I don't think
so.
Yeah, same thing, though. Drink whatever, be bloke and be like your mother.
Hearn. A socially isolated woman fantasizes about marrying the debonair James Madden.
On
realizing that her feelings are not reciprocated, she turns to an old addiction.
Oh.
And what Brian Moore said about it, which I thought was probably more interesting, I was very lonely. I'd almost no friends. I'd given up my beliefs, was earning no money, and I didn't see much of a future. So I could identify with a dipsomaniac isolated spinster. Not sure about the last bit. Sounds a bit insulting to me.
Sounds riveting. I'm going to run out and read that one.
The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie, which is well known, I think, a lot because of the film with Meg Smith. Jean Brodie is a teacher whose unconventional ideas put her at odds with the other members of staff at the Marcia Blaine School as she endeavours to shape the lives of a group of girls.
She teaches her girls to think for themselves, darling. Think for yourselves. Don't do what society wants. Just do what you want to do it very well, darling.
So is that like, what was that movie with Robin Williams in it?
Kind of, yeah.
Dead Poets Society.
Kind of.
Really?
But more classy.
Based on that, yeah. Mm.
Remains of the Day, a contemporary classic. The Remains of the Day is Kazuo Ishiguro's beautiful and haunting evocation of life between the wars in a great English house of lost causes and lost love, which probably isn't the way I'd describe it. It's far more political. It's about repression, loss, people missing the chance of happiness, missing the chance to do what's right. But
riveting list this month of excitement and happiness.
It's funny because I love the most of the books on this one.
I was going to say, it's where somebody went swimming and drowned. It was so lovely.
Antoinette could have foreseen the terrible future that awaited her. She would not have married the young Englishman. He forces her to conform to his rigid Victorian ideals, unaware that he's pushing her towards madness. Ooh. And it is, of course, the story of Mrs. Rochester.
Yep, it is indeed.
Yep.
That's why I keep thinking of
that. Yeah, that's what that's from.
It's really fascinating because it's her perspective. It's very, very short, so...
I might read it then.
So short, I lost it. Compared to this one.
Oh, my. The Weighty Tome, indeed.
The Weighty Tome.
So is that big because it's got large print?
No.
Oh. Well, damn. I'm not interested.
Says Marie. It's four words per page, Marie.
It's a classic Charles Dickens.
Oh. You'll be loved. You're on the other side of your face as your eyes get weaker as you get older.
Please, I don't even have to get older.
You go to illustrations.
Remains of the Day. Is that Anthony Hopkins?
Yes.
Oh.
He's so good.
He is fabulous.
And Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. Now I want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
She's my Maggie Smith.
Right. She's my Maggie Smith too.
She's such a funny lady in real life. Have you seen her interviewed?
Yeah.
Smart and funny.
And switched on and politically engaged. And
But enough about me. Let's get back to Anne Thompson. I think. Well, what's The House for Mr. Biswas about?
It was a uni text set in the Indian community in the Caribbean. And all Mr. Biswas wants, he's a clerk or a public servant. All he wants is a house of his own. And all is married, but they can never afford to have their own house. They live with relatives. You know, different relatives and different sort of situations, and his dream is to own his own house, which I think he gets the house in the end, but it's a bittersweet ending. And it's been a long time and I don't fully remember.
He does get a house, but there's a lot of things wrong with it. But fairly quickly, he manages to overlook a lot of those things. And that reminded me so much of the first house that my husband back then and I bought, which had a lot of things wrong with it, with like salt damp and all sorts of stuff. you know, bit of a fixer-upper. But after years of having rented and, you know, like many couples, you know, our big dream was to have our own house. Yes. We quickly got to ignore all those things, including the fact that there was a leak in the bedroom that we became aware of the first night when we'd moved in.
Oh, dear.
And it was drip, drip, drip. But
sounds like our house. Yeah. Minus the leak in the bedroom.
Yeah. So when I read that bit, I thought, oh, yeah, you can overlook a lot when you kind of wanted your own place for a long time.
I overlooked a lot when I moved in here. I still overlook. A lot.
But this has got so much character, this place.
This house is very cute, but yes, there was lots to...
Character's fine.
Overlook. Owning your own house 9 weeks without a hot water service because it's your own house and not a rental. And the whole drill.
And what's next?
Oh, I do have to mention A Mutual Friend because it is one of my favourite books.
Mm, yes.
So I'm surprised
I've never heard of it.
Oh, really?
Never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe every time someone says Our Mutual Friend, I think they're actually talking about Our Mutual Friend.
Yes. Which one?
You know, Our Mutual Friend, such and such.
It is probably one of my favourite Dickens. I do love Our Mutual Friend, even though I actually think he muddies the whole thing up at the end. So the dustman inherits all this money, a fortune, and then the dustman gets greedy. But it turns out the dustman isn't really greedy and it's all an act. And it's sort of like,
it's a dream.
And and so I have sort of mixed feelings, but at the same time, the dustman and his wife are such beautiful people that...
Oh, okay.
It's really distressing when they get corrupted. And you're kind of also happy that they're not really corrupted after all, because they're just these very kind, caring, giving people.
Right.
And so they're not actually corrupted by the money. And they pretty much give it all away. So it's a mixed message.
That's what I would do.
So I'm never quite sure whether I like or don't like. I have sort of ambiguous feelings about it. But I do love the characters in it. It's late Dickens, so it's when his women are feisty because they're based on Alan Ternan, not his sort of earlier love. So the women are much feistier and tougher. It's got some much, I think, more radical look at class and class issues. So the whole time you've got the upper class and their, you know, sort of totally decadent lifestyle, and the working, real working class, but the best people in it are the people from the bottom of society.
Mm.
So it really has the sort of, and the interactions between them.
Okay. The real people versus the toffee twits.
Yeah. Whereas I feel he was a lot snobbier in his earlier writing. I think he actually moves a lot further.
He meets more real people.
Yes. And he writes real people much better towards the end. So it's got some really lovely characters, some of my favourite characters. It's just one of his best books. But I'm surprised it's on this list because it's not usually considered one of his best novels.
Mm.
And I would say Bleak House was more influential than Our Mutual Friends. So in terms of influence. I'm not sure that I would say it's his most influential. I would say, A Christmas Carol would definitely have to be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't classify as a novel. That's... It's a novelette. I think Bleak House or even Oliver Twist... David Copperfield, The Treatment of Children. Dickens revolutionised how children are viewed in Victorian society. What I do love in this is the lonely, unloved boy, and that need of a child for love and affection comes through very strongly in this book. But really, I'd say it's probably not his most influential novel. So, if it was my favourite, I'm not sure it should be on the list. It's not the one I would put on this particular list. Yeah.
I guess that's what we need to be looking at. You know, how do you think these have influenced as the topic of class and society? Because I don't know that the prime of Miss Jean Brodie, the class of children she was teaching, maybe. I don't know, maybe that's why they decided.
Well, she was encouraging women, young women that she was teaching to actually get out there and
be the best they can be. Society,
sure. Yeah, a bit of feminism happening there for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a very class and society issue.
You've convinced me, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you.
With your wise words.
I'm good, aren't I? I can talk rubbish with the best of them. waffle. No, that's not waffle. That's well-considered thought.
I've never read any John Steinbeck. I have come down and found a 15-year-old curled up in an armchair crying his eyes out after reading John Steinbeck. I think it was The Mice and Men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mice and Men was beautiful. The final,
it really, really hit him emotionally.
He's never read another novel since.
No, he probably hasn't.
Yeah, so of Mice and Men, I would think, was more about class and society.
Very much so.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm. So it's whoever is the person picking them out is what they bring to bear.
Yeah.
Sim, Rise, Tip or Publishing.
Yes. Talk to a publisher.
talk to a publisher. If you've got an idea, talk to a publisher. Yeah. Some of them are really looking for books. And if you know of a publisher, please don't irritate them about you at all. Be nice to them. Don't crawl to them, but be nice and give them your best work. Don't try and foist rubbish on them, because they'll stop looking at your works with...
And appreciate that they still have to make
money. They have to.
Yeah, and that's the reality too.
But it's all about the books. It's all about the books, yeah, but it's all about paying the rent.
Yeah.
Okay, and my word for the day is gallimaufry, which doesn't actually mean what I thought it did. It means a confused jumble or medley of things.
Sorry, I didn't make a gallimaufry. That made my sentence very wrong.
So this COVID era is basically doing that to all of us, no matter how organised we are or might be.
Okay, so readings of own works. Does anybody have...
I thought I had something, but I've lost it. Hang on, here we go. It's just a prose piece. Tip, okay. At the library, the guard is in charge of having only 10 clients in there at one time. Who could be there for only 10 minutes? I deemed that to be weird. As a borrower, I completely agree with him. It was weird for sure. Only 20 minutes at the library? Honestly? But we did it.
Which library?
That was Teacher Gully Library, our main library, even though it's a long way away.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's got millions of books. Who's next?
Marie. Oh, I've got a poem called Don't Judge Yourself Harshly. It's all very well to reflect on yourself and be self-aware, but don't judge yourself harshly and with other people compare. If you have no confidence, only seeing yourself as flawed, you won't believe there is so much about you to applaud. You are unique, the only you, certainly one of a kind. To your many strengths, make sure you are not blind.
Oh, I like that.
That's a lovely rhyming poem that doesn't hit you in the head saying, I'm rhyming, I'm rhyming, I'm rhyming. It's just a beautiful poem that happens to rhyme.
Thank you.
I like that. Nothing worse than knowing what the next word's going to be. It's just so awful, like moon and June and all that sort of boring rhymes. You could rhyme.
I won't bother reading mine now.
Okay, I'm not listening, so it's fine. I'm not going to.
It was about the moon in June. I'm not
going to
worry.
I won't listen.
I don't have one.
Oh.
I've been doing lots of writing, but I'm sure nobody wants to hear my 5,000-word assignment. No?
I'll just read a brief bit of... Most of my writing is on class and politics, but I couldn't find anything relevant to the theme too, so I'll just read this bit. Coal fire still burnt in the grates of the city houses, and the resulting smoke hung thick and greasy in the damp air. It was always damp in the city. Through the long winter days, there were so few times when it was not raining in some form or another, or snowing, that the cobbles and stones did not have time to dry out. In summer, the moisture left from the long months of rain and the wide, sluggish river that bent and coiled through the city humidified the still air trapped between mountains. Days, too, were short in the city, scrunched down in the valley, for the sun had quite a climb to the summit of the mountains to the east and was blocked early on its western descent. The city is divided into four quarters. The Oblonsky Quarter is home to all that aspires to be fashionable. It was named after a partying Russian emigre who settled there in the late 18th century when it was still farmland, built himself a gracious villa and then proceeded to enjoy life to the best of his fiscal ability. So elegant was his lifestyle that others soon opted to live nearby, because where Oblonsky was to be found was where the party was. Oblonsky had, by all accounts, been a most affable chap, a man intent on enjoying the wealth and privileges fate had bestowed upon him. Quite why he ended up in the obscure city, so far from home, nobody knew, or if they did, that knowledge was not shared. As long as the imported champagne kept flowing, nobody cared to inquire too closely as to how it was purchased.
Tally ho, chaps. Gorgeous.
When Oblonsky's bright star finally burned out, the parties died down, but still the fashionable and well-heeled sought out residences in that region that was forever associated with him. Eventually, the royal family conceded to fashion and built themselves a fine palace on the edge of the Oblonsky Quarter, leaving their old palace to decay ungracefully down by the river, where the mists hung heaviest and the foul stench of the murky river infused everything. Eventually it was razed and the grounds became the city's only real park. The Mayerhof Quarter is where the business of the country is done. Here the buildings are crushed together as though intent on all occupying the same space. They are narrow and tall, needle-like, so tall that the sun is blocked from the street till late morning and scurries quickly across the sky so it is blocked once more in the early afternoon. It is said that the sun is reluctant to shine upon the murky commercial streets, and when it does so, it flees quickly from the sight. The sun is shy of showing its face to the business district.
I love your personification of the sun. That is just lovely. Lovely writing.
I have to make a few alterations as I read. The reading aloud is so good.
Yes.
For editing. Okay, so and then lastly, writer's challenge, something to do with Gawler. Maybe the river flowing. I think we probably do this every year at this time of year, but I do love to see the river flowing.
Yes.
I'm and waiting for the light to flow down from up the hills down.
So and I think that wraps it up for this month.
I'll the next you know thing.
Some more books.
It might be coming of age, I think. See you next month.
Bye.
Goodbye.